On today's show, I'm joined by Grant Schiller. We're doing potential outfield trades for the Rangers to make that one last upgrade to get ready for the season. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick, a cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan since 2010, the founder and host for all four seasons of this Locked On Rangers podcast. Thank you all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. You can follow the show at Locked On Rangers. You can find our guest at OG Shill and subscribe on YouTube, where the best way you can help grow the show is to comment any single thing below. On today's show, I have brought in the prospect prognosticator, the baseball expert, the very smart analysis man, Grant Schiller, to talk about a few things Texas Rangers baseball. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm here at the scorer's table. I'm ready to check in for my flu game. I've got a box of tissues next to me. I've got my water back here. The cough drops in the other room. That was an oversight.
Oof.
But I am here. I'm ready to power through. Bed's a mess. But the positive is everybody will get to have some background entertainment with my fiance's dog, who's here right now.
Honestly, that's the best part of having you on is the dog randomly walking around in the shot. Like, there's not a whole lot visually going on here because, you know, I'm doing this 5 days a week. And so taking the, like, twice as long as it would take to put in, like, fun, flashy things in the background. Hello, good dog. Hello. I'm sure the good dog has a lot of baseball thoughts as well. But we're going to start on some youngsters. I'm sure that pup is fairly young. Actually, I don't want to assume that. Is that dog young?
He is. He's about 13 months.
Okay. Well, a little bit younger than everybody on my top prospects list. Thankfully, if I had some 13-month-olds on here, if the Rangers had signed them, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. But
that was what they did with Yadier Barrios, right?
Man, I didn't think we were going to get a Jairo Barrios mentioned on here. Man, what a blast from the past. But he is not on this top 30 prospects, but I'm curious. I did have a little bit of differentiation in my top 30 from what Baseball Prospectus and your crew did over there. I'm curious what your thoughts are on my rankings. Am I a moron? Am I a genius? Did you fight for this exact order and then just lose to other people? Or just what are your thoughts?
I think it's for the most part fairly close. just a few things to point out quickly. Daniel Cueva was actually somebody I thought to be on our top 20, just based off my looks at him. Now, something interesting is through that process, he has made some of the worst of baseball last year. So that's fairly worrisome. Top 30 is probably still accurate. That made me a little bit lower on him throughout the process than I was prior. It's something to watch for him to improve upon. Anthony Gutierrez, I think we were quite a bit higher on. Just from what we hear, the reports on him are so strong and Rangers officials are so hopeful. Obviously, we haven't gotten eyes on him yet ourselves. Hopefully, I will in March. But what you hear, it could be pretty special there. I think Reagans and Bradford I'm lower on just because the upside there is so limited. Bradford maybe a little bit more than Reagans.
Well, I mean, you had Englert in your top 20, RIP.
Yeah, I do like Englert more than both of them, actually.
Okay, interesting.
I think Englert could be a pretty strong guy for 18 batters, whereas Reagans and Bradford, I like Bradford a little bit more than Reagans, but Reagans in particular, I don't know that he has the third pitch to truly be a starter, and he doesn't have the top two pitches to truly be a reliever. So to me, he just kind of settles into an up-down guy. Evan Carter, we had number one. That seemed to be pretty much consensus with the sources we talked to. So,
oh, hey, someone said that I was smoking the crack pipe for putting him number one, and I was just like, I mean, then we're all smoking crack pipes, which I don't think is the case.
So yeah, I mean, it's and you know what I'm realizing here is I'm looking at your midseason list. Mm-hmm. So you do have Evan Carter number one. I was like, number six, what the heck is this? but overall, I think the analysis remains pretty much the same. Ryan Garcia, I'm very interested in this year.
I was like, I didn't think much about him. I kind of heard some rumblings about him towards the end of the season. I was like, okay, we'll see what that's about. And I kind of like looked into the numbers. I was like, this looks really good. Like, yeah. I mean, he hasn't pitched in a long time, but like, and another one of those guys was Josh Steffen, who was on Pipeline's top 30. And I was like, who the heck is this guy?
He was he was the second guy in the Gibson trade after Dowdy, right?
Oh.
I think.
Okay. Well, then maybe that trade will end up being okay.
And then let's see. Trevor Hauver is who I'm going to peg as somebody who's going to jump into the top 15 for next year.
Okay.
His his numbers at first glance were not great, but the underlying stuff looked much better. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was curious about him because it was like I feel like a lot of people really low on him, and like overall, like I saw him a little bit in Frisco, not much, but like I saw him just a little bit, and I was like, looks pretty good. I mean, like,
yeah.
He and Zavala have a kind of a similar like profile, but like I think Zavala's is a lot higher, but still, definitely a great state for the farm to be in, and we have some potential trades we're going to get into. I have I think five, if I can count, I have five guys here. I think, yes. Okay, I can count, and I do have five outfielders, be they corner or center. I think they're all corner, or they eventually will be, for the Rangers to trade for. And I'm going to ask just your thoughts and what it might take to get some of those guys. But first, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football, the playoffs, to college basketball, the NBA, NHL, they've got all kinds of sports betting action at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can find those over at BetOnline as well. We are always the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Now, I have five outfielders. Some of these are more realistic, some of these are less realistic, and I'm just curious as to your thoughts. I haven't even made up my own thoughts on some of these guys. I literally just like, all right, who is here? Who is available? Who is someone that I hadn't thought of before? I'm going to start with one that seems more realistic, and that is outfielder Max Kepler of the Twins. I believe that they are shopping him just a little bit. He is going to be heading into his age 30 season. Feels like he's been in the big leagues for forever. Coming off a 2.1 BWAR season. Not a whole lot of offense last year, but a career OPS of 744. A career OPS plus of 101. Fine. He's kind of fine. That is the outfielder that we are talking about, and who Joseph Nicholas Gallo will probably be replacing as the everyday guy in left, listed at 6'4", 220, and a left-handed hitter who throws left-handed as well. You in or you out?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. he's a good corner outfielder defensively. He walks. He's going to hit for a low average, hit for a little bit of power. I mean, he's fine. Like, he's in that 1-2 win range. He's certainly better than Cole Calhoun. He's somebody you wouldn't have issue with replacing if Duran comes out gangbusters, but he's also somebody who you can roll out there five times a week reliably if none of the internal left field options really take that leap forward. So he's fine. It's whatever.
The rare German-born player, and German grew up too. Okay, just something I'm noticing on his baseball reference page that I find absolutely fascinating. His high school in Berlin, Germany, was named after a U.S. president. Can you guess which one?
I'm going to go Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Close in years. It was John F. Kennedy School.
Okay.
In Berlin. Did not know they had American presidents naming schools in foreign countries.
Has his son come back yet?
Whose? Kepler's?
JFK's?
Oh my God, I'm not doing this with you. speaking of things, I actually meant to mention this at the top. Some actual news that happened. Trevor Bauer officially got released by the Dodgers. And this is all I'm going to say about that. No, I don't want him. Go look at my Twitter if you want to see my full unabashed thoughts. I got pretty expressive on that about a month ago. But no. That's it. next guy on this list, I've actually already talked about a little bit before, Brian Reynolds, and I'm hearing some mumblings and rumors and all kinds of credible and incredible, or I guess less credible sourcing, just kind of like, oh, the Rangers are really leaning towards doing this. How are you feeling about the Brian Reynolds trade potential?
Yeah, it's starting to feel like the early kind of slow leaks and warning signs that that you get when the Rangers are about to do something, right?
Where were those signs for DeGrom?
Yeah, well, not for that one. That one came out of nowhere. Reynolds is one of the tougher evaluations, honestly, because it's weird.
Right?
2 years ago, he was a 6-win player. Last year, he's a 3-win player. 2 years ago, he's 98th percentile. An outs above average. Last year, he's 6th percentile. The approach regressed some last year.
It's kind of once. I think Juan Soto did that too. Like he was like really high in outs above average, and then like this year he was just like one of the worst.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. Without having watched him every day, it's really one where you have to trust your scout out there in Pittsburgh, right? Because which one is the real Brian Reynolds? Maybe they both are. Maybe he's going to be an inconsistent guy. But which one are you betting on? Because if you get the 2021 version, you've got a star. You've got the 2022 version, you've got a good player. So now coming here, it would help with maybe last year with some focus issues. That would make sense with a defensive regression and an approach regression. Moving him to left here, as I assume the Rangers would do, would take out some of the defensive concern if the defensive drop-off was real last year. If it wasn't, then we have a terrific left fielder.
Well, like his I looked at his splits, like negative 16 outs above average or like defensive run save for his career in center and like plus like 8 or something in like a third of the games or something in left field. It was like, okay. Like,
yeah.
And that's a really good defensive outfield.
It is. Reynolds, Leody, Adolis. And the other thing with it is, if there's any team in baseball who can afford to overpay for a guy in prospects, it's the Rangers because of the depth. Now, what I will say is my preference. So you assume you've got your top four group of guys in terms of value, right? You've got, let's just take Young off the table because they're not moving him.
Yeah.
You've got Carter, Leiter, White, and Duran. Carter, I assume, is not
moving. Are you saying Duran's in that category?
Oh, I love Duran.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love Duran.
I do too. I feel like I'm crazy every time that I'm like super high on him.
I think in BP, he'd be a top 50 guy if he's still qualified. I love him. So to me, if you can get away with only sending one of those remaining three, being Leiter, White, Duran, plus some however many of the depth guys.
Do you think Carter's on the table for him? Because I
don't think so.
That's my whole thing is like, I really like White and I really like Leiter. And I think this is also selling super low on Leiter. And I think he's going to bounce back and probably be really good. And it's going to really piss me off if they trade him and then he does that somewhere else. Not that, I think that Pittsburgh has the great track record of, you know, young promising prospects going there and being good. Usually it's the other way around with pitching prospects there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. you probably will not see the best version of Leiter or White if they end up in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But as long as Carter's not in it, and as long as two of the other three aren't in it, I'm good. If there are two of the other three in it, it's probably more of a shoulder shrug and see how Reynolds does, just because from afar, without having really spent much time watching him in the ballpark, on TV, anything, he's about as tough an eval as there is.
The weirdest part for me is that, like, you know, Fangraphs War and Baseball Reference War are usually, like, there's usually a decent gap. But with him, for, like, almost all of his war, it's, like, they're, like, right neck and neck. Like, I think the 2021 season was, like, 6.0 and, like, 6.2. It was just, like, really close. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that tells me. It just kind of confuses me.
Yeah. So much of him confuses me. But, yeah. Hey, you know what? If it's a reasonable price, he can confuse me as a Ranger, because I'll take the shot.
Yeah. I keep going back and forth, but it really all comes down to how much it's going to cost. All right, that's a very confusing evaluation. A guy who had a 6-WAR season, then completely kind of fell off quite a bit the next year. I wasn't going to do that to you twice in a row. The next guy is Tyler O'Neill, who did almost exactly that. Had a 6-4 season in 2021, 6.3 WAR according to Baseball Reference. And outside of that, his highest WAR season was this past year. Granted, only 96 games, a 1.3 WAR.
Yeah,
I have no idea what to make of this, but I was kind of just like looking around rosters with like excess guys. O'Neill, for those who don't know, is with the Cardinals. He is a left fielder, hits right-handed, 5'11", 200 pounds, from Canada. Has got, I believe, 2 years left of control. Yeah, it says earliest free agent is 2025. So about the same age as Reynolds, hits right-handed, not a switch-handed hitter, a 2-time Gold Glove winner in left field. Yeah, I don't know what the price would be. He's coming off a 700 OPS season with 14 home runs in 96 games. He's had kind of a little bit of a problem with health, I think, because he came up in 2018, played 61 games then, 60 games the next year, 50 in the shortened season, 138 in his 6-WAR season, where he finished top 10 in MVP voting, 8th to be specific, with a 912 OPS and 34 home runs. And 15 stolen bases. And then this year kind of came back down to earth a little bit. And I don't know, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, he's interesting. If you're making the choose between him and Reynolds, I'm definitely picking Reynolds. O'Neill's a little bit less well-rounded. I think Reynolds is probably a better left fielder, despite the Gold Gloves for O'Neill and left. O'Neill's kind of a little muscle hamster, Hulk smash type of player. But he hasn't actually accessed the power that much outside of 2021. So it's interesting. Maybe he's a streaky guy. Maybe if he didn't get hurt last year, he would have hit that run again. So another guy I really don't know what to think of in terms of projections.
Yeah, and the return as well. Let's see. The projection for next year, according to Baseball Reference, they have 445 plate appearances, 20 bombs, a 773 OPS, and a 321 on base. So I'd say that's like a pretty decent, that's like a 3-4 win player.
No, and, yeah, he's going to be solid. But there's less avenues of value, I guess, and he hasn't accessed his best one as much as you'd expect consistently. So he'll be good, but I'd take Reynolds over him.
That's fair. He does have 69 career home runs, so that's
so he can't hit another. That, yeah, I mean, what kind of,
he's got to retire right now.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going to look at one. These last two are more for me. I want them, and I don't know if they're going to happen, but I think they're definitely possible. This next one is a guy who I have no idea where to place his value again. A -2 career WAR in 500 at-bats. A batting average below 170. He totally sucks, and this team should definitely cut bait because he's never going to get better. That is Jared Kelenic of the Seattle Mariners. Okay. A guy who hit at literally every single level he was at. A 6th overall pick from the Mets, was traded to Seattle in the, I believe it was the Robinson Cano Edwin Diaz trade. Yes, it was. Literally, like, every minor league level he hit and just did not struggle at all. And then once he got called up to the big leagues, he struggled big time in 93 games in 2021 as a 21-year-old. And then in 54 games this year was somehow even worse. And I think there's a really good hitter in there. And I think I have a lot of confidence in the Rangers being able to, like, kind of fix him as a hitter. And The question is, would the Mariners do it? I think they definitely have looked around. They made a trade for a corner outfielder. It seems like they might go platoon with Kelenic hitting against righties and whoever else they traded for that I can't remember off the top of my head hitting against lefties. But is this something you're in on? And more importantly, do you think the Mariners would be willing to trade him at this point? Because it seems like they don't have a lot of room for error.
Look, I'm going to oversimplify it probably. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. If you can't hit a breaking ball in the zone, you're screwed.
Is that what his problem is?
Yeah. It's the same problem with Joe Waddell. You can hit the ball as hard as you want, but if you can't even sniff contact on a breaking ball in the zone, you are not going to be a good hitter. Let me tell you, so let's just real quickly, 2022. Just his numbers against sliders and curveballs. Against curveballs, he faced 75 of them. They ended 20 of his plate appearances. He hit 100 with a 29.4% whiff percentage. Sliders, they ended 38 of his plate appearances. On those, he hit 029, slugged 059, whiffed 48% of the time, and struck out 60% of the time. That is such an easy scouting report and such an easy app to get. And everybody in the big leagues throws a slider now. If you cannot hit a slider or a curveball in the zone, you're screwed. He has so much work to do, so far to go. He's toolsy still. But if I was going to trade for him, I'd be trading for him to have him figured out in AAA.
Mm-hmm. So basically, he's right around the corner. Just one.
Yeah.
All he has to do is just do that. There we
just
go.
This look
at you. You fixed him. You totally fixed him. Mariners don't listen to this podcast. There are some reasons for upside. Obviously, like, he has all the tools in the world. Like, you look at his the little bit that you can see on his MLB or Baseball Savant page. Max exit velocity in the top 6% of baseball. Uh-huh. Sprint speed kind of middle of the pack, but he's played a lot of center field. Arm strength in the top 12 percentile of baseball. Like, he still walks, even with all of his strikeouts, he walks at a pretty good rate. 9.3% walk rate at the big league level, which is about a percent better than league average. Strikeout rate is right around 30%. Hard hit percentage, 2% better than league average. Like, there's some things to dream on there. I'm kind of surprised with a guy who struggles with curveballs in the zone that, like, he didn't struggle at any minor league level, and he played it a lot.
You can get away with that in the minors, though.
That's fair.
How many arms can throw big league caliber breaking balls for strikes consistently in the minors? There's not many.
About to say, yeah, usually they're in the big leagues when they do that.
Yeah.
So that's fair. But you think, is that a problem that's fixable, or is that like a you're done?
Well, if you're not done, but it takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not fixable with the current swing.
So he just needs to fix his swing. Okay.
Yeah, look, just fix the swing. Start hitting sliders and curveballs over the fence instead of missing them, and you're good.
So the Rangers just trade, like, cash considerations because he's just such a bum.
I don't think that's a good idea.
if that's what it costs, then I think I'd be in on that. Okay, last one. This one is also just for me, and also a guy who not quite as broken as Jared Kelenic, but someone that if the Rangers traded for this guy and he was good, the team in question might end up just folding as a franchise and dying. This is Josh Lowe, right fielder for the Tampa Bay Rays, brother of Nathaniel Lowe, a 6'4", 205-pound left-handed hitting outfielder, a former first-round pick out of Pope High School in Marriott, Georgia. This year was his first real big league action. He had, you know, two whole plate appearances in 2021. He's a 24-year-old, 50 games, just shy of 200 plate appearances. 627 OPS, and well, before this year he was batting 1,000 at the big leagues and an on base of 1,000 and OPS of 2,000. Had one walk, one hit in two plate appearances in 2021. This year, a little bit of a struggle on base, below 300, slug below 350. Just not quite what they were hoping for. Still really young. Maybe he figures it out. Maybe they think he's just a guy who can only hit against righties, just like they thought about his brother, and that turned out to be categorically false. Is this something you think that the Rays would consider? And how horrifically mortified would they be if they traded away both Low brothers to the Rangers and they both blossomed there?
That would be great. I bet he's pretty available because I'm not in on him blossoming. very good base runner. That's probably where most of his value comes from. But at the plate, there's always been a lot of swing and miss there. The AAA power numbers are really strong, but he doesn't actually hit the ball that hard. So it's not those aren't numbers I expect to carry over. So I'm not sure what he does to get on base and impact the ball enough to let the base running in. I mean, you would think the defense with the speed would be strong, but he's a corner outfielder. So I'm not sure where he finds enough with the bat to actually provide enough value to be more than the bench guy. However, having the Low brothers would be cool, and if they can send Lau with them, I'd be very in.
Oh my gosh, just to get that confusion somewhere else. I feel like just splitting them up, just like even if the Rangers like, all right, like we'll give you like, you know, a bunch of guys in like you know, the Dominican Summer League. There's like a few guys there. And it's like, I don't know, sure. Just so that everyone can like figure out like, all right, if he's on the Rangers, you say Low. If he's on the Rays, you say Lau. Just for broadcaster pronunciation purposes. Yeah. It'd be the first trade of its kind in MLB history.
Yeah, I'm in for that reason.
Okay. So yeah. No, go ahead. I was about to say John Daniels. Well, John Daniels, if you are listening, I guess you can get on this too.
That's true.
John Daniels being on the right and wrong side of both Low trades. That would be very interesting. But I think that's all I got. Is there anyone out there that you think that I like hadn't thought of that like you think, oh, that's like somebody that the Rangers should consider? Because I feel like I got most of the ones that are like semi-reasonable and some fun ones as well.
Yeah, top of my head, I don't have anybody. But I don't know. Nobody jumps out at me from the teams that would be obvious candidates. But I will say Juan Soto would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. You know, I already, like, just this week did, again, like, imagining Shohei Ohtani on the Rangers. So, like, if the Rangers swing and miss on him, I think they're going to be in on Ohtani or on Soto. Like, I think they're both going to be pretty big in on both those guys. Unless they sign Ohtani, then they'd be like, all right, somebody else can get Soto. Like, it's fine, I guess. I'll ask you something more philosophical. As we kind of wrap up this thought on like left field trades, do you think the Rangers should, cause we know they have like depth in their minor league system and like part of the reason you build up a farm is to trade from that depth and like, cause not all the prospects are going to work out. But in general, it seems like their two biggest holes, at least from my perspective, are like left field upgrade, which like, if that's your biggest problem, then like, I think that's fine offensively. And like another, like, truly top end starter, because like the rest of the guys they have like 2 through 6 whatever in the rotation are like pretty solid guys, like way better than last year. But I think outside of like Evaldi, and as much as I love Martin Perez, I think the rule changes might make him have a little bit of a regression season. I feel like trading for another like top end starting pitcher should more be the goal there, as another like, you know, 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation, as opposed to like filling left field, which like is always kind of a, you know, rotating door. Is that your thought, or am I crazy here?
Well, it's interesting. I think left field is the bigger hole in the immediate. That's although fair. You have guys coming up who you believe in, right? Duran might get some time out there. Zavala, I like. Carter's probably going to be more of a center fielder, but if Laiodi's killing it out there, Carter might move over there. So you have some guys coming to fill it. However, it's the bigger hole right now. That being said, if you can get one of the top pitchers in baseball, it's always going to be... Like, if you're telling me I can get Brian Reynolds or I can get Corbin Burns, I'm going to get Corbin Burns.
Yeah. I just don't think you're going to get Corbin Burns. But I would... I think I lean that way, too.
So...
If only the Brewers just sucked.
I know. Just a little bit worse.
Or, like, the Cardinals actually, like, went all in and, like, really went for it and were like, all right, we're clearly going to be the best team on there, so the Brewers could be like, all right, let's, like, start the rebuild cycle.
That would be nice.
But no, that's not the case. And I don't think... both of those central divisions are, like, so wide open that there are a lot of good pitchers that the Rangers could trade for in there for teams that are cheap. But because nobody in their division's good, they can still go for it. And that's a you know, distinct bummer for the Rangers. But anyway, thank you for your thoughts on that and for validating all of my wonderful prospect choices. Now it's time for the best part of the show. If you're new to the show and haven't joined us for a Grant episode, we end them all the same way. Probably the best thing we do on this podcast is with a random Ranger. We both pick someone random who has been on the Rangers, just has to be on the Rangers big league roster for some point in time. Doesn't even have to have played a game. So, Grant, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I can go first. So this is going to be a tough one for you to guess. He actually pitched a little bit for the Rangers, but I forgot he existed.
Okay.
Until I saw him in a video allowing a home run about a week ago. Something he did quite often as a Ranger. So he's a left-handed reliever. Actually, before he came to Texas, he had a pretty solid career with San Diego, Tampa Bay, and the Angels. I mean, the 5 years leading up to this season, his ERAs were 392, 210, 414, 370, 275. So pretty strong. Despite that, his season with the Rangers in 2016 was the last year of his career because he had a 604 ERA in 47.2 innings. He struck out 5 per 9, walked 4 per 9, and allowed over 2 home runs per 9. He was atrocious. If you could believe it, despite getting 47 innings on the playoff team, the 604 ERA actually was too low for what he deserved because he had a 661 FIP. Can you name this Ranger?
Oh, my God. I cheated and looked at the baseball reference. But, yeah, Cesar Ramos.
It is indeed Cesar Ramos.
I did not remember him either. And, man. Man, that was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow not the worst ERA on the Rangers that year of, like, regularly used relievers. Keone Kello.
Was that the Ross Detweiler year?
That was the Sean Tolleson blow-way year.
When the Rangers closer was cursed.
Yeah, Sean Tolleson had 11 saves in 36 innings and a 7.68 ERA.
Goodness gracious.
Also, Kyle Loesch with a strong 12.54 ERA.
Hey, that's going to be a great random Ranger one day.
Ugh, it really is. Okay, mine is still employed by Major League Baseball. Not as a player. His playing career ended one season after his time with the Rangers. He spent 4 games with Texas in 2010. 7 whole plate appearances, a 5.71 OPS. This guy is 47 years old out of Caguas, Puerto Rico.
Is it Alex Cora?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my God. I didn't think it was going to be that quick before you got it. How did you rank Alex Cora on there?
He was the biggest name.
He was?
Not for... casuals, but for, you know.
The man had a career OPS plus of 72, a 7 career WAR despite
but he'd been in the league
3,400 plate appearances.
He had a 14-year career.
He did. 35 home runs, and he got 10 of them all in 1 year with the Dodgers. Man, that's wild. What a weird career.
And,
didn't have any of them.
Quite a bit of time the next year.
Yeah, he did with the 2011 Washington Nationals, which were, I don't remember being a good team. I don't think they were good that year. Oh no. Just one game below 500. How do they have, they're missing a game. They went 80-81. They played 161. What the heck happened?
Must have had a rainout.
Huh.
Ooh. That's okay. Fair. We're going to derail the podcast a little bit here, but do you want to hear some of the other names on that 2011 Washington Nationals team?
We're 35 minutes in, so why not derail it? I'm already looking at this page, and it's super weird. Tyler Clifford being their second best player by WAR, and Lance Nix,
Rick Ankiel, Jerry Hairston, Pudge, Johnny Gomes, Matt Stairs, LeVon Hernandez was still kicking it. I mean,
gosh, that was Pudge's last run. And what? Why? Oh, I wish he could have been the Rangers' backup catcher that year or in 2010. Like, he was still kicking it. Like, he played in 2009 for the Rangers. It was like, why not? Like, Rangers should have gone for it. They would have won 2010, 2011 if they had Pudge as their backup catcher. I have no doubt. And that's why they really didn't win, because he was still in the league and they made the mistake of not putting him there. Anyway, that's hilarious and super weird. And what a wild and wacky, weird note to end on. But thank you. Thank you for joining me and helping me not have to do a whole episode talking about He Who Shall Not Be Named. And talking about the 2011 Washington Nationals. But thank you all so much for listening and subscribing. Go subscribe to Baseball Prospectus to read Grant's work over there. Follow him on Twitter at OG Shill. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.